Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with all of you wonderful people. And speaking of wonderful people, if any of you know where I can find two that would hang out with me and do this podcast, feel free to let me know. In the meantime, I got Joey and Colby. What's up, guys?
My life is dope and I do dope things.
And I'm blessed.
Despite having a friend like me, right?
Yes. I was gonna ask, why? Why are you blessed? Ooh. I was talking to somebody, one of our faithful listeners, and I was like, you know, he says he's blessed all the time. Why are you blessed?
Because despite of who I am, Jesus loves me.
That's it.
And that'll preach right there. It doesn't matter who you are, right?
That's right.
Despite who we are, Jesus loves us. Come on,
somebody. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I like to joke with people all the time that it's really truthful. I would have fired me a long time ago. But for some reason, God decides to keep using me. And man, so I'm blessed too, right, Joey?
That's right.
You know what, Colby? You're blessed too, bud.
I am. You're my life too. Is blessed, and I do bless things.
Look at there. See, I like this. Look at what, you know what we're doing here? Like, we don't need to worry about Council of Nicaea or any of those old ancient Christendom things. This is the new council. We're establishing all of what Christendom should look like now moving forward. I love it. So, speaking of which, how many of you knew that the original St. Nicholas slapped somebody at that council? That's a good history lesson for you. So I absolutely love that. He's been slapping heretics since the 3rd or 4th century. I love it. So today we are continuing. We're actually not continuing, but going a little bit deeper into something that we tacked on to the end of one of our previous episodes. We're talking today about developing the leaders around you. Now, we recently talked about being insecure as leaders, and we found out that all of us have something that we're always dealing with at some point or another that deals with some kind of insecurity. And what we did, we wanted you to think we're way smarter than we are, so we took some notes at a conference we were at. And that conference we were at had a guy by the name of Brady Boyd, who's a pastor of a church in Colorado Springs, and he shared four things that are four keys to developing the leaders around you. And so today, we're going to kind of talk about those, show how they have worked in our ministries and lives and experience in the small church, and hopefully give you some encouragement. So, Joey, why don't you jump in and talk about that a little bit?
Well, I was just going to say that I am still hurt and offended by his words, and he hasn't apologized for them yet. Because about everything he said was a personal attack on me and my leadership ability.
Yeah, so. For those of you that are in listener land, I was at this conference event with Joey, and every time this guy said something, I honestly, at one point, I thought he was going to rush the stage and try to take him by force and just throw him outside. You remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? When Uncle Phil used to throw Jazzy Jeff out, I thought that's what Joey was about to do with this guy. I'm like, no, Joey, stop.
I do appreciate you being a good friend and pinning me. And with each new thing, you had to hold me back harder. I think one time you had to put my hand over my mouth. You can't say that.
Yeah, it's like Joey had to do. He learned a lot, but he also had to do a lot of repenting at the altar while we were there for some things that he said. So, and Colby missed it all because he wasn't able to be there with us for this one.
I don't remember why, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
That was the day I didn't do dope things.
You did dope things at a different location.
I did, yeah.
So Brady Boyd is a senior pastor of a church in Colorado Springs, fairly large church called New Life Church. And he's been there for a couple of years. And he recently, he's actually the author of one of the articles that we did an episode on the, was it 10 things I wish somebody had told me 25 years ago. And so you can go and you can check that episode out that we did on the show here. But today we're talking about four keys to developing the leaders around you. So I'm going to tell you these four, then we're going to kind of go back and talk about each of them. Number one, put energy into becoming a healthy leader. Yikes. Okay, so how does that have to deal with developing leaders around you? We'll get there. Number one, put energy into becoming a healthy leader. Number two, create an atmosphere where leaders can speak truthfully to us and to others. Ouch. Number three, give the right leaders a place at the table. And number four, know what kind of leader you are looking for. So those are the four keys to developing the leaders around you. And really, this is helpful if we look at this not from principles we have to apply, but rather a culture that we create. So guys, which one do you want to jump in on this as we kind of break down that first one? Number one, put energy into becoming a healthy leader.
Well, you put it in the positive term here. What he was saying was, and how he said it was, if you're going to have a healthy church, you got to be a healthy leader. And so what he was saying was, my church is not healthy because I'm not healthy. And I just wanted to be a victim, of unhealthy people coming to my church, not it being my fault. And so that was attack number one that he had, because he was attacking my unhealthy leadership.
So this episode is just going to be a rehash of all the attacks that Joey had.
Yeah. He's the victim. I'm trying to be positive over here and how we can help. And I'm trying to help Joey I'm trying to help the healing process. And Joey's like, no, that's sorry, Joker.
Well, I mean, it hurt because it's true.
Yeah. The word. Now you guys can say a hearty amen on this after I get done. But one of the things in my house that I hate the most is the mirror. right? And like, because looking in the mirror, I see me. I don't see anybody else in the mirror. And what this question or principle does, or what this statement does, really forces us to, as leaders, to look in the mirror. John Maxwell used to say, it was something, I forget the exact time frame, but basically it was after you've been around for a certain amount of time, you don't get to blame anybody else but yourself, because the problems you have, you've created, and the culture you have, you've created.
Now, hopefully that's like at year 16 or 17, because I'm at
the year 15. You haven't got to yet.
Yeah. Is that when that is?
I always give 6 months. You can blame Colby for 6 months. After 6 months, it's your problem now.
That's right. So, put energy into becoming a healthy leader. You attract people like you. Now, we all know, again, these are broad brush principles, right? So, like, there are going to be people in our church that aren't quite like us in terms of their health or their non-health or their leadership ability or whatever. But by and large, this idea is that when we're healthy, we can attract, develop, add, build a healthy culture with healthy leaders around us.
So it means we got to ask the question, am I emotional health? Healthy. Is what I'm doing emotional health? Healthy. Is it healthy emotionally? I'm going to spit it out in a second.
Yeah, he's still fired up. He's still been abused on this one.
He's trying to not cuss.
This is something I've been working on since I read the book Emotional Intelligence and Becoming Self-Aware. The only way I can be emotional intelligent is to be aware of the emotions that I'm having, like anger at this guy saying this to me and working through that. But what is the emotions that I'm having? Are they healthy emotions? And how do I deal with them if they're unhealthy emotions? What's the right way to get my emotions back? Be self-aware of that. What are you feeling? Why is that upsetting you? Why is that hurting you? Why is you having these emotions from what is being said, what is being done, and then figure out how to navigate that in a healthy way.
That's so good. Emotional health is really key. And I'm actually going to throw this one over to Colby, because Colby's working with some emotionally healthy stuff right now. And Colby, do you feel free to just share that, since I've thrown you under the bus there?
So a lot of the listeners have probably heard of Pete Scazzaro from Queens, New York. New Life Fellowship, I think is his church. Anyway, he's come out with a whole emotionally healthy, spirituality, emotionally healthy leadership, emotionally healthy discipleship.
His wife has a
book, Emotionally Healthy Woman. Her original title was I Quit. And so he's really kind of capitalized on the whole emotionally healthy, but it's not like of course he's making money off of it, but it's not why he's pushing it. He's done videos, and we've heard him talk down at Exponential, in 2020, and, discipleship in the church is a joke in most churches, if it's even there. And, his whole thing is about being emotionally healthy, first as a leader. And that book was a really good book. But emotionally healthy spirituality is key to discipleship, to being able to, move the gospel forward. And so that has been all these things. And so we're starting an emotionally healthy discipleship course. We're going to run a pilot course here in a couple of weeks. Here it's an 8-week course. That the first part is 8 weeks. The second part is also 8 weeks. We're going to do that one in the fall, but it is about developing emotionally healthy disciples, which will in turn create emotionally healthy leaders.
Yeah, that's so good. And I want to pause here and say that there may be some listeners that are out there that are going, well, Pete Scazzaro, that's the guy. He talks about the Enneagram and that's evil and all of that. Yeah, I agree with you. We're not talking about taking those parts of it on. What we're talking about doing is we're talking about focusing in on being emotionally healthy. Yes. And like emotional health matters. Making sure that we're looking under the hood, as Joey was saying with a lot of those questions earlier, that stuff matters. And so I just want to say that because, man, it's real popular in a lot of doctrinal witch hunts to be like, well, this guy supports this and that guy supports that. And the assumption is all of our theology is perfect.
Well, and Joey supports the Cowboys and we still keep him around.
Right. Like there's got to be where sin abounds, grace abounds. Right. Okay. And so we're not talking about chasing after ghost writing and witchcraft and all of that. What we're talking about is like going underneath the hood emotionally and finding out, are you healthy and are you building your spirituality and your connection with Jesus in a healthy way?
I haven't seen the Enneagram stuff. I don't even know what
it is. He briefly talks about it in one of the books, and like he doesn't even say, "Hey,
it's not in the material I have for this course."
Yeah, I know that the Enneagram thing's like a big witch hunt stuff, and I mean it is. You look up the history behind it. It is. I'm absolutely anti Enneagram. With that being said, just because a guy says something about, "Hey, you should check an Enneagram out," in like one sentence of a book that has 100,000 words in it, we should probably pump the brakes just a little bit.
We did emotional healthy relationships at the church, and me and Aaron still use material to help us communicate with each other from that study.
Now, Joey, her hitting you over the head with a book is not considered using material to communicate.
It helps get her point across.
That book is material. It's tangible material, and it gets the point across.
So what kind of things like would you advise for us to, where would you say would be the starting point to look for emotional health?
Just evaluate what emotions you're having in a week and what is causing those emotions.
So just observe.
Just observe. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
As you go through the week, as you're feeling emotions, stop and identify it. Mm-hmm. What is this emotion? Well, I'm angry. Well, anger is a secondary emotion. Anger is always driven by something. Mm. What is behind that anger? Was you jealous about something? Was you hurt by a comment? What was driving that anger to produce that? And then dig down deep. Ask why five times. If you want to get to the bottom of something, ask why five times.
Why?
Because it helps break it down. I know what you're going to do here to me.
We're going to be here a while.
Yes.
Why, Colby?
Because you're going to keep asking
just
why.
Just understand, if you do that to yourself or somebody else, by question three, they're going to get mad. Mm-hmm. And just lean into that and let them know, you're going to be mad at me, but we're digging for something. Mm. We're trying to mine out the gold here, the nugget here.
That's so good, man. God, I want to stop doing this podcast and just meditate on what we've been saying, but I know we've got to keep going on. I do want to hit this before we go to number two, is there are four, really key bullet points here. And so one of them, these are all series of questions. So here are some questions you may want to write down. Do you have emotional health? Here's your question. Are you self-aware? Now, self-aware is super critically important, right? Like self-awareness, I always use the example of if grandmama told you you could sing, but she's the only one that told you you could sing, you're not self-aware about your ability to sing. Are you self-aware? I have served under a particular leader before who thought he was great, but all of us are like, oh man, like this guy is not a great leader. But because he was so self-assured, he wasn't self-aware. And I'm like, I've caught myself doing some leadership things and I'm like, that's just like so-and-so. And I'm like, no, God, oh God, no, please God, no. But self-awareness matters. Here's another one. I'm not even going to say this one. Somebody else.
I was just
going
to say no. Move on.
I'm going to have to say it, but it's going to have an angry tone to it. Are your moods and behavior stable and predictable? And you can tell by my attitude towards this question that no, they are not. If I'm working with a staff, and understand, if you got volunteers, you got staff.
Come on now. There we go.
Are they going to get the same person every time they deal with you? Are they going to have to be scared of what pastor's coming in this Sunday? Is he mad when he comes in? Is he happy when he come in? What pastor are we going to get this week? That's not a healthy emotional place for them to be.
And here's the thing. Let me jump in on this too. Well, maybe you go ahead, Kobe.
No, I was just going to say, and if somebody's coming, one of your staff is coming to you to ask you a question, and the first thing they say is, please don't get mad at me, then your mood is garbage all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at that and they're saying, okay, he's going to be mad at me. So I just got to, please don't be mad at me. I got to ask
Joey, come back. Come back, Joey. Come. Yeah. Like, and here's the thing with that is what that does is that tells you that that was one staff person that was brave enough to say it.
Yeah.
How many of them are not brave enough to say it because we're unstable and we're angry. We've got a bad attitude. But here's the thing. If we're talking about building leaders around us, what we model is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught my kids the other day. We were watching the Super Bowl and our team is not in the Super Bowl. Shocker. I'm a Falcons fan, right? And so my boys see these two teams and they're going, boo, boo. We don't want to watch this. And I'm like, yeah, we do. Last game of the season. We want to watch this one. And the commercial should be good. They weren't, but that's another podcast for another day. And what happens though, I have taught them rigidly. For the 9 years that the Twins have been alive and the 5 years that the baby's been alive, we hate every team but ours. And that's become their culture. Their culture is they can't even sit down and enjoy watching a game because our team's not in it. And what we do when we model instability is we can't get mad with people who fly off the handle because we've modeled that in many cases. So, yikes.
Here's another question. Do you really care about the people around you, or is your value on mission over people?
That is so difficult because our mission is people, but our mission is to get more people.
Yeah,
and so sometimes we forget about who's around us because we want to go get the next one. Mm-hmm. We got to go get the next one.
Yeah, that's definitely a balance, and there's tension on that balance for sure. And then this last one here before we move on, have you created healthy environments that allow others to flourish? Man, my goodness. Think about it this way. You're a gardener. You don't make the soil, you don't make the seeds, you don't make the fertilizer, but you have to combine it and put all of those things together in an environment that's healthy for your team to flourish and grow. So number one, put energy into becoming a healthy leader. Number two, create an atmosphere where leaders can speak truthfully to us and to others. Don't like that. Well, let me rephrase that. I like it when they're telling me I'm doing good.
Right.
Yeah.
But when they're confronting me or when they're challenging me, that's when I'm like, wait a second, whose team are you on here? You're on my team. I'm not on your team. Okay.
Yeah, so. I don't even like confronting somebody else about something, much less them confronting me about it.
So here's a question. Is in your ministry and your team, do you handle conflict in a biblical way?
No.
Let me say this about that. We may look and go, well, if we are producing spiritual folks and we're doing a good job, we won't have conflict. And that's just not true. Because if we got people that care about their ministries, they're going to come, and when there's a rub between ministries, there's going to be conflict, and you got to manage that conflict. But is those who are having that conflict going to handle it in a biblical way?
That's good. That's so good.
Yeah. So I said no flat out that, not handling it in a biblical way. And here's why. And these points that we got 6 points underneath this one. But somebody doesn't do something. A leader doesn't do something. And then they come in and they say, hey, I didn't get this done. I'm sorry. My response is it's okay. It's not okay. I lied to them. And so I say it's not handled in a biblical way because we deal with volunteers. I've got no paid staff. You guys got no paid staff. We deal with volunteers. The last thing we want to do is upset a volunteer and they leave, especially one of our really good ones. And so
you have good volunteers?
I do. if they don't do something, we don't want to say, this is unacceptable. This has to get done. It had to get done yesterday. You've blown a deadline. This has now set everything back. We're out money. We're out this. We don't want to tell them that because we don't want to lose them. So we lie to them and say it's okay when it really wasn't okay. And all that does is build tension within ourselves. And so to handle it the biblical way, you got to be truthful.
Yeah, and that's number five on our list. Yeah. Be honest and sincere. Yeah. So by saying, oh, it's okay, you're not being honest. You're not being sincere. But we can be honest and be sincere and be loving while we do it. Also, the problem is coming when we're honest and sincere and we're mean and ugly when we do it.
Yeah, well, let's just go down the list there. We've got 6 ways to handle conflict in a biblical way. Number one is confront in a timely manner.
Is 9 years timely?
Well, I mean, it depends. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, God let the children of Israel be slaves for 400 years there in Egypt before he sent Moses. So, so 9 years,
I got a little time.
Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, confront in a timely manner.
And I think he said 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, he said 24 to 48 hours. He said, and then he said, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then he said 48 hours. I'm like, well, wait a minute. There's a sun not going down for you?
Yeah.
But and the point is, and I think the biblical point, too, is not just a 24-hour time frame, but is saying confront in a timely manner. His thing is, there's some things you need to sleep on. Because I don't know about you guys, but you know this about me. Sometimes I can get hot and it comes out quick. I'm like an old 76.
That's why I don't text you after a sports game.
This man sent me a video, Marco Polo, today, and he's like, hey, I'm going to ask you a question on the podcast today, but I need to let you ask if it's okay if I ask you this. Because, like, sometimes I just need to sleep on it. I need a day to get away and to calm down so I'm handling the issue, not the person. Mm. So confront in a timely manner. Number two, begin confirmation with affirmation. Begin confrontation with affirmation. Begin confrontation with affirmation.
And folks, that's my fault because I can't spell. So.
Yeah, Joey spelled the wrong thing on our list here. Begin confrontation with affirmation. See the good in a person, not just the bad. Here's what I've learned. When I go into a meeting and I'm going into a meeting to simply correct somebody, that meeting usually has more tension than it should.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go into a meeting going, man, I'm going to make this better. This is an issue we've got to deal with. But at the end of this, this person and our relationship and our impact is going to be better. It works a lot better.
And if I can't find a good in somebody, is that an indictment on me? Or is that it's time to move this person on anyway because we can't work together?
Yeah, that's really good. So number three, do not accuse, but share your feelings. So, Joey, why don't you break that down just a little bit?
All right, we could come in and start making accusations. You did this because you don't care about the ministry or you're not doing your job. And it's accusations about why they're doing it. And what he says, come in, you know, when this didn't get done, this is how it made me feel. Or this is how it affected the ministry. And instead of making accusations, you're explaining how it affects everybody around them.
Yeah, I was in a training not too long ago with Kevin Bordeaux from Thrive Church, and he said this. This is a phrase that they use. I know you didn't mean to do this, but when you did this, here's what it made me feel like. And I'm like, man, that's really good. It's like, I know you didn't mean to not get these cards done by the deadline. But when you did it, it kind of made me feel like you don't care about the system that we have in place here. Or it kind of made me feel like you think that the rules don't apply to you. They apply to everybody else. And so, and then here's another one. So help me understand what I did, what happened here. Help me understand. Did I not communicate it clearly? Did you not have enough time or resources? Help me understand so I can set you up for success in the future. So don't be accusative. Share your feelings with it in a tactful way. Number four, active listening. That's where we listen to hear and not to respond.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so bad at this. We know. Yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. What did you say?
We're pastors. My goodness. Like, we are ready, fire, aim. Of course, we don't listen to hear. We listen to respond.
Yeah. I've heard the first sentence, and now the rest of the 5 minutes they're talking, I am still in my mind finding out, responding to that first one.
Especially if your emotions are involved.
Yes.
Because we're talking about handling conflict. So, like, it's easy for us in this podcast room to talk about, here's the six things we got to do, right? But when you're handling conflict, you're probably ticked. Mm. And if you're not ticked, you were ticked 24 to 48 hours ago if you followed rule one. Yeah.
Emotions. Yeah, I hesitate confronting, and then my standard operating procedure has been, I'm changing it, has been, I don't confront till you make me to confront. And when you make me for confront, I'm coming in as a bull in a china. Everything's getting tore up because now I'm mad because I got to confront. Yeah. It's not the right way to do it.
So actively listen. Yes. Don't be defensive, but listen to understand. The dean of Emmanuel College School of Christian Ministry said it this way to me when I was at college way back when Noah was alive. He said, seek to understand and not be understood. That's so powerful. I don't always do well with that, but at least I remember the quote. It makes me sound more spiritual than I am. Number five, be honest and sincere. We talked about that earlier. Honesty matters just as much as sincerity. Colby mentioned that earlier, that sometimes people come in and we're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. If it's a big deal, don't lie to people. Lying to people never helps them grow as a leader. And that's not what accountability is. Accountability is, hey, I was trusting you to do this and it didn't get done. Now, I love you and I still think you're a great leader and we're going to fix this, but you need to know these are the standards that we have here. I'm terrible at this because I don't like confrontation where people don't like me. I will confront people if I know they'll like me. Like, I do this in my preaching sometimes, and I think a lot of pastors do this. We have our pet subjects that we can preach on or preach against because we know the majority of our crowd is going to be like, amen, pastor. Boy, you sure were preaching good today. When in reality, like, I will confront things and preach toward things that I know will get me a good amen and a good shout, but sometimes I'll put my head in the sand on other stuff. And so we've got to be honest and sincere. And then the last one here, number six, is be gracious. Most people respond positively to positive confrontation. So you guys have anything you want to say about that last one?
When I was coaching middle school football, I just got into coaching football. Head coach brought me on and I coached the way I was coached. Now I was, I was coached in the '80s and early '90s. Well, 91 is when I graduated. And so I was coached differently than what you coach in. I think it was probably 2002 when I was a coach. So there was a little bit of a difference in time frame at that point, right? So I was coaching the way I was coached, and so my head was always beat red, and I was always yelling, and the coach called me over, and he says, listen, you're a good coach. You know what you're talking about in the game of football, but these kids aren't listening to you because all you're doing is yelling. He says, I want you to hit them with a positive sandwich. Hit them with a positive. Give them the negative. Hit him with a positive. You have done this 9 times out of 10, but this one time you didn't do it, and this was the problem, and this is what caused what you caused because you didn't do it. Now I want you to go out there and give me everything you got and get it done. And so when I started doing that with my coaching, the kids started responding, and things started happening. So I kind of taken that into my ministry as well to say, okay, I'm not just going to call somebody in the office and chew them out. I'm going to hit them. Hey, we've done this thing for years. You've done great. You've awesome. You know, you're doing all these things, but you missed this. And now this is the problem. I need you on your game. I need the best you got. And I know you got it in you. I know you can get it. So I try to hit them with that and make sure that they're, because they will respond more with that idea of a positive, negative, positive than they will if you're just yelling at them all the time.
That's so good, man. So good. So we've got 4 things here after we just gave you 6 things. And then in a minute, we're going to give you 9 things. So don't try to keep up with the number system. Just work with us. So the first one is put energy into becoming a better leader. The second one is create an atmosphere where leaders can speak truthfully to us and others. And then number 3 here is give the right leaders a place at the table. You guys want to break that one down a little bit?
Well, right leaders are going to come with right answers, but they may not be the answers that we had to the solution. Can we let them go with their answers and not be offended because their idea might be better than our idea?
And for you Northerners, it's idea, I-D-E-A. Joey just puts an R in there.
See, we've got healthy conflict happening right here, right now. I can feel
there's
it.
No conflict. Let me look. He's awesome. Here. He does a great job. He pronounces most of the
positive
words right.
Sandwich. Positive sandwich.
Just the idea wasn't right, and so I just went. But I know he can do it. I really do. I know he can.
I think you can do it too, Joey. I believe in you, buddy. So, yeah, John Maxwell, leadership guru, says this: let the best idea win. When you get around the table, let the best idea win. I don't like that all the time. I'll say this: I like that when I'm working with new people on the team. I'll let their idea win because I want them to feel welcomed and part of the team. But if you've been on my team for at least 6 months, I'm going to tell you your idea is stupid. And that's a me trying to be self-aware. I got to work on that.
Well, my idea is always the best idea, so.
Oh, without a
doubt.
That's
why it wins.
Yeah, without, of course. That's what me and Joey were talking about earlier.
Like, that
yeah,
is a course, joke. Yeah.
So give the right leaders a place at the table. It's important that we emphasize that word, right leaders. Everybody in your church is not the right leader. Anybody. Just because they have a pulse doesn't mean that they need to have a place at your table, okay? So make sure that they're the right leaders, give them a place at the table. And there are various ways that you can vet and figure out who the right leader is and all of that. A lot of it's going to be trial and error. And again, if you've got the wrong leader on the table, K can you be sincere and honest when you confront that and say, hey, we think we need to do some reshuffling here. Like, I've asked way too much of you. Can you possibly we need to shift you to this role, to that role, but put the right leaders in the right place. Tom Brady's possibly going to be known as the greatest quarterback of all time. But if you put that dude at defensive end, it ain't happening, right? He's going to moonwalk into the Hall of Fame as a quarterback. He wouldn't make it to the practice squad as a defensive end because he's not at the right place. He's not doing what he's built to do. I mean, I don't think you can cheat enough for him to be a good defensive end, do you? Is that too soon? Okay, anyway, all right. And then the last one here, number four, know what kind of leader you're looking for.
And let me say, this one right here might help us with the right leader.
Yes, I think these two work together for sure. Yeah, if you know what you're looking for example, that I just used, if you know you're looking for a quarterback, put a quarterback person in that particular role. If you know your door greeters, we joke about this all the time. Walmart, God bless them, but sometimes they need help putting the right door greeters at the door, don't they? Like, but sometimes at church, we take a play out of Sam Walton's playbook and we put people who look like they are as happy as a pregnant rattlesnake at the door. People that look like that their job, their side job is testing pickle juice to see if it's sour or not. Like, put happy, engaged, excited people at the door that are ready to greet people. Don't just put Captain Grumpy there. You know where the Mr. Grumposaurus needs to be? On your security team. Put that bad boy on your security team or put him out there cutting the grass on Tuesday, right? Like, but at any rate, know what kind of leader it is that you're looking for. One of you guys want to jump in to say something about this?
I cut the grass on Tuesdays.
See? The grumpy one cuts the grass. Exactly my point.
Well, that worked out.
So what kind of people do we want to look for, Joey?
People who will expand our vision. Are they willing to carry the vision that the church has? Or are they trying to come and carry their vision out where we're at? Do they have a vision of where they want to be in 10 years and it's not at your church, but you're a stepping stone to that? And so they're going to come and carry their vision out. Find somebody to carry the vision that the church has. Yeah,
I love that. At Forward Church, our official colors are red and black. And I always say it this way. Most people bleed red, but we need people to bleed red and black. And that's just a way that we say we want people to be carriers of the vision of the house. The next thing, too, is do they represent your values and can they communicate those values? Now, representing them has a lot to do with them. The ability to communicate them has a lot to do with us. Are we steadily modeling and communicating the values and helping people to have handles so they can carry those values to others?
Yeah, if we can't communicate it to them, how they're supposed to communicate it to somebody else?
Absolutely.
And a lot of times if we just give them terminology, the wording, you know, the why, then they can turn around and express that why to the people.
Yeah. And that's something, man, like I'm not rereading it, but I'm thinking about a lot of the principles from this old book called Simple Church. I think it's Tom Rainer and Eric Geiger who wrote that book years and years ago. But essentially, to boil the whole thing down, it's like we overcomplicate systems in church. We overcomplicate discipleship, Sunday morning, all that stuff. Can we simplify it? And that's the thing about people that can communicate the values. If our mission statement's like five sentences long, don't nobody care about that but us because we wrote it. But can we simplify it in such a way to where it's, dude, it just makes sense. Like if I were to go back in time and ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He was able to take 613 Old Testament commandments and distill it into two.
Two.
Love God and love people, right? Can we distill those values down so people can take them with them? And then the last thing, can they carry the weight? Can they take unnecessary weight off of you as a senior leader and take that onto their plate? If there's somebody who always comes with a good idea but not a game plan, probably not the type of person that you want on the team.
Well, you were talking about Tom Brady. You wouldn't want a whole team of quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
You need a right guard. You need a left guard. You need those others that can do their job so you can fulfill the mission.
That's so good.
And so can they carry the weight of the job that they're going to be assigned?
Yeah, I love that, man. And I'd love to, man, for us to do a whole episode on team building and talk about what kind of players and positions we need filled and all of that. I think that might be something good we can look at into the future. And so in the meantime, man, we thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope that our rambling, excuse me, let me rephrase that. We hope that this Holy Spirit inspired prophetic leadership insights
have been helpful. Equipping.
Equipping the saints, equipping you. We are in the name of Jesus, we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. Come on, somebody. And with that being said, hallelujah, I feel the brush of angels' wings in this place right now. Okay, never mind.
I thought he was going to take up an offering there for a minute.
Yeah, I didn't bring my wallet.
That's okay. You can give online or you can text to give. Okay. Colby, why don't you tell the people what they can do? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me
rephrase something. I love these people. I ain't going to tell them what to do. Hey,
don't tell them where to go either.
If you like what you're hearing, even if you don't, give us a rating and a review. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more that this will get noticed. If you've got friends out there that are in small churches that seem like they're struggling, send it to them. Send this podcast to them. Let them listen to it. If anything, they might get a laugh or two out of it. So that's what we're asking from you.
All right. Subscribe while you're there at the podcast so you can get us whenever we put new content out. But also go to our Facebook page. You can go to Facebook, put in the search bar, Small Church Leadership. We should come up. Click on that. Look at the information. Drop us what you're struggling with, your comments on these. What areas are you struggling with in this list that you could use help? What areas are you doing right? And you might can help us put a point in there to help us be better at what we do. We would appreciate you participating in that.
Absolutely. We want to be connecting with you guys and not just talking to you. And so make sure that you check us out and find us in those particular ways. We love you and appreciate you. And hey, listen, make sure that you're back here, same bat time, same bat channel next week as we go over our checklist for Easter. Yeah! Easter is literally here. And so we want to go over the checklist of things that we need to know and we need to have in place so we can capitalize on Easter 2022. And so we appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next week. We have been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and all the other adjectives helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
And we shall see you next time, guys. We love you and we're praying for you. Bye now.